B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Let's start with a pretty messed up story, man. The son of a billionaire banker was killed by a boat propeller desperately trying to save his fiance during a Florida Keys fishing competition.
God, anyone who spends time in the water or ever water skis, that's such a fear.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I grew up water skiing, and when they would bring the tow rope back around by you after you fell, they would have to come really close, and I would hear that. Freak me out. So Juan Carlos Escotet Alvarez, the 31-year-old son of Venezuela-based Banisco president Juan Carlos Escotet Rodriguez, died Saturday afternoon after jumping into the waters about 6 miles off North Key Largo as he and his fiance, Andrea Montero, tried to snag sailfish from a 60-foot boat. Alvarez had dove into the water to try and save Montero when she fell overboard, but he hit the vessel's propeller immediately and died from his injuries. They were taking part in a fishing tournament organized by the Ocean Reef Club in Key Largo. Montero managed to get out of the water without any consequences. And that's pretty much all that I have as far as what occurred, but that's just horrible. A self-proclaimed homeless male model was arrested for yanking it in front of people in a Starbucks in Miami Beach on Friday.
Strike a pose.
And there is video of the guy just standing there.
And yanking away.
No pants on and just doing it.
Wow. Ever heard of jerkmate?
Blake Rain was allegedly seen.
If someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
Was allegedly seen by several witnesses pleasuring himself at the Starbucks.
How you folks doing?
Witness Alyssa DeMaria said that she was in the shop when she used her phone to record him. She's saying to him, "What are you doing? Get the F out. It's disgusting." Rain allegedly refused to comply with the police orders, and they shot him with a dart-firing stun gun.
Oh, my God.
And that's when he got to yanking it again, this time, though, yanking the darts out of his body and running off.
So this guy doesn't look like what you'd expect this from what you described.
Well, he's a self-proclaimed homeless male model.
As far as homeless go, he looks pretty decent.
In the bizarre chase.
I like how people are walking out with their drinks.
And, so annoying, too.
Police shot Rain roughly 8 times before he was finally subdued. Police used closed fist distraction blows and kicked him in the lower back area as well, according to the arrest report. One of the officers was injured after he fell during the foot chase.
Let me get this straight. It's illegal to do this?
He is charged with lewd and lascivious behavior, disorderly conduct, and resisting an officer as well. A mechanic's arm was amputated after working with a machine that did not have a safety guard at a U.S. Postal Service facility in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Oh, my God.
The OSHA area director, Kimberly Morton, said Postal Service ignored long-establishing safety standards and put workers at risk. They have an obligation to eliminate hazards to ensure safe working conditions and prevent another worker from suffering tragic and life-altering injury.
So did it rip it off?
The worker reportedly made contact with a machine that was supposed to have a safety guard, but it had been removed. As a result, his arm was amputated. The department said the facility where the injury occurred, a bulk mail processing and distribution center, where a programmable network of heavy conveyor lines and other systems handles packages for delivery. So I assume he got caught up in the conveyors. And I don't know if it was ripped off or not, but they definitely had to amputate it.
We've talked about that. Machines like that, big machines running, you know, anything like that.
Those freak me out.
I get a little trepidatious.
Like the propeller, like the boat propeller. Yes. I'm like, I just feel uncomfortable around them because, you know, you might get sucked into that thing. Twisted around in the gears.
Freaking kill you.
Yeah.
Freaking kill you. Most postal service. Dangerous job. OSHA.
All right. A Spring Hill, Florida man is accused of calling 911 to have the methamphetamine he recently purchased from a man he met at an area bar tested because he believed it was really bath salts.
That's ridiculous.
Thomas Eugene Colucci.
Yeah, do you believe this?
Made the emergency call around 7 p.m. on Thursday. Deputies say Colucci told them that he is an experienced drug user who's used methamphetamine in the past and knew what it should feel like.
Yeah, and I just bought some kiddie porn, and they all look like they're much older.
When it didn't produce the expected sensation, he decided to call authorities. Colucci then produced two small baggies, each containing a white crystal-like substance, and handed them over to the deputies. Colucci told deputies he wanted his methamphetamine tested because he did not want other people to purchase fake meth from the person who sold it to him.
He's like a consumer affairs reporter.
Totally.
Meth heads.
Yeah. He wanted deputies to put the person in trouble for selling dangerous drugs. However, he was able to provide a name. He was unable to provide a
name. This just in. The meth you might be buying might not be meth at all. I am a meth addict myself, and I found out something that's going to open your eyes wide and have your blackened teeth fall out. Now here's Rico with the weather. Thank you.
The whole news team is there, a bunch of drug users.
Our field reporter is currently spanking it in front of people
at Starbucks.
Oh my God.
Wait a minute, I gotta hear that again. Back to our weatherman.
And your field reporter is the yanking it, dude. As requested, a deputy performed a field test on a sample of the white crystal-like substance from each of the baggies, and both baggies tested positive for methamphetamine.
Oh, thank you.
He had gotten the real deal.
I feel so stupid.
Yes.
I don't think I would be able to recognize meth if I saw it.
No.
What does it...
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I mean, if it's a white powdery substance, how are you supposed to be able to tell it from cocaine to meth to
You saw that story about the West Point guys, right?
Six of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, overdosed?
In fact, I think three or four overdosed, and then the people who tried to give them mouth-to-mouth, the very little bit of fentanyl got into their systems, and they OD'd.
Wow. Deputies arrested Colucci, who said he was having chest pains after being placed in the back of a patrol vehicle. After being cleared by a physician at an area hospital, Colucci was taken to the Hernando County Detention Center.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File podcast.
The North Carolina woman who had been fighting to be allowed to keep her license plate that said fart on it said the Division of Motor Vehicles says she can keep the plate, just not on her vehicle.
Well, that's kind of dumb.
Carly Cindy of Asheville said that she originally applied for the fart vanity plate as a joke and was surprised when it arrived in the mail. But she later got a letter from the DMV saying that the plate had been issued in error and is actually banned by the state. The DMV gave Cindy the opportunity to appeal the decision, so she formed the Friends of Asheville Recreational Tales, or FART, F-A-R-T, to help her argument. The DMV ultimately decided that she could keep the plate, but it wouldn't be legal for her to have it on her truck any longer. She says she plans to keep hosting fart events, even though the saga of her license plate has ended.
So I guess each state can determine what they consider valid on a license plate?
Correct.
All right.
So they have their list of
things man.
That are considered, keeping you down, man. So high tea took on a whole new meaning for Andrew Hughes and his climbing crew. The group of adventurers held a tea party at 21,312 feet above sea level at Mount Everest's Camp 2 in Nepal last year, setting a new Guinness World Record, which is officially recognized by Guinness this month for the highest tea party ever held. Hughes, a self-described high-endurance athlete from Seattle, said that he first had the idea of tea party earlier in the pandemic when COVID-19 travel restrictions and shutdowns meant expeditions were not possible. He said the isolation made him realize he missed the community more than the summits. And he said the greatest things in life are often those shared. And he added that the feat, which was held in May of last year, will inspire others to seek their own dreams no matter the heights. According to a news release, Hughes's highest of high tea parties exceeded the previous mark by thousands of feet in altitude and was full of complexities, including carrying supplies through the treacherous Khumbu ice falls.
Yeah.
One of those added complexities was a huge snowfall brought on by a massive storm the day of the planned tea party. Other issues were coordinating the logistics of hauling the extra supplies, including Girl Scout cookies that Hughes brought from Seattle up Mount Everest. The supplies had to withstand flying across the world, being transported to base camp, strapped to a yak, and then carried in backpacks traversing an unforgiving terrain, which included frozen waterfalls, to Camp 2.
Strapped to a yak? How did they get back?
Without cookies turning to crumbs, the release said. In the end, the extra effort was worth it. The record will forever be immortalized and unforgettable, an experience in my life, he said, according to Hughes, who went on to reach the summit of Everest about 2 weeks later after a failed attempt in 2019.
So they've never had a tea party on the space station is what you're telling
me. Ooh.
Or, Casey, a fondue party at the top of Mount Rainier.
Ooh. We could do that, maybe. Something we could pull
Nick can
off.
Show us the way.
The highest fondue party.
Yeah.
A Virginia teen was surprised when her dad, who she hadn't seen in years, made his last child support payment with 80,000 pennies.
Oh,
what a douchebag.
Come on, man. It's for your kid.
But listen to what she did. 18-year-old Avery Sanford said that she was in the middle of her class when he pulled up in a trailer and dumped the pennies in the street in front of her house. She said, my mom walked outside when it was happening. She didn't recognize him at first, and she asked, what are you dumping on my lawn? And he said, it's your final child support payment. And that's when she realized who it was. But once Sanford and her mom finished picking up the pennies, they decided to turn the bad situation into a positive and by donating every penny to Safe Harbor, a domestic abuse shelter. She said, turning around and donating that money to moms and children in need just really turns the situation into a positive one. Learning a lesson of her own, Sanford said the incident showed her that she made the right but tough decision to stay clear of her dad, adding that she doesn't want a relationship with someone who disrespects her mom.
They're good people, but I'd still have to give him an upper decker.
It is really hurtful, she said, and damaging to your kids when you do things like that. And it doesn't matter how old your kids are. It doesn't matter if they're a young child or an adult. The actions of your parents will always have some effect on you. So just a complete a-hole of a human being. But they've turned it into a positive thing. Two murder suspects were arrested in Southern California after a man's body was found encased in concrete in a bathtub in one of Hawaii's most exclusive gated communities. Police investigating a missing persons case entered a home on Tuesday where they encountered a strong smell of coffee coming from a bathtub. The tub was filled with concrete and covered with coffee grounds.
Huh.
Lieutenant Dina Thomes said the body was in a standalone tub and it was in a state of decomposure once we chipped away the concrete mixture. The coffee smell was later overpowered by the decomposing body, she said. Police had been at the home the day before in response to a missing persons report. Police questioned a 23-year-old man who claimed to live there. He and a 34-year-old man with him were allowed to leave after determining there were no signs of foul play outside of the home.
Seems
police
wild.
Later determined the 23-year-old man had been in an intimate relationship with the victim, so he's 23, right?
Right.
73-year-old owner of the home.
God.
Yep, one of those. The 23-year-old man and 34-year-old man were last seen in Waikiki last Tuesday.
Say the word fart.
The U.S.
I like that.
The U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force determined that they had fled Oahu to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Juan Teodoro Barron and Scott Hannon were later located and arrested in Southern California. Barron was taken into custody on a Greyhound bus in Anaheim that was headed for Mexico. He was found hiding in a crawl space under an enclosed bench at the rear of the bus. Barron had pulled back a metal plate near the bus's rear bathroom and crawled under the enclosed bench seat. Hannon was apprehended in Inglewood. Both suspects were booked into Los Angeles Detention Center. So they had, I assume, what you think is they won over this person's trust.
Right.
And then this guy pretends like he's in love with her.
And there we go.
They kill for the money or whatever reason, yep. Which is pretty messed up.
That's a mob tactic, cement.
Yep. All right. And that's it. That's where we're going to end the B-File for now, my friend.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.